from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day as we'll continue to discuss the world of sports. Here, Rangers pregame is coming up at 5:30. I believe Brian Broaddus is set to join us live from the tennis courts in Oxnard, California.
He's in the building!
Yes, sir. And our continued training camp coverage with Broaddus and Oxnard, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, from grain to glass. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, sir. Hey, congratulations of kicking our teammates' asses in paper football.
Well, thanks.
The other day.
I only wish I could have taken down Choppy in the final. But
man, that's
always next year.
Good for you. You know what? I didn't have you as a finalist guy. I didn't have you as one, man. So,
you didn't see the look in his eye when he walked into the.
Yeah, I didn't.
I
think the fact that you guys were there early got him a little bit kind of fired up. Got to see the surroundings. Got to see what he's up against.
Yeah.
Maybe got to like hydrate a little bit more. Maybe because of the heat and stuff like that you're dealing with.
I was getting some Spygate vibes whenever I was playing against him, but couldn't really get to confirmation.
Yeah.
Well, any of that.
You know, here's what happened is maybe in years past, I didn't give my best thinking I want to get home. Some other young cats want to win this, but now our young cats got kids too. And I think, well, Wolchuk probably wants to go home. Let's dispatch him. Chief, maybe the same thing. So once I got that taste of victory, Brian,
sure.
You know what that's like. I wanted more of it.
Yeah, I was surprised because to me, you kind of have that appearance like, okay, I'm going to do this and, then I'm probably going to get beat and then I'm going to kind of go over here and say hello to some folks and then I'm going to say, hey, I have a daughter and I'm going to move on out of there.
That's
right.
Guilty.
And,
well, he ain't the only one
and that's,
now, baby.
And that's working with you for 4 years. But when I heard that you were in the finals, I was like, damn, Dawson, that away.
Well, I don't know if you heard this, Brian, but I am the best to have never won the big one. And it's still on my list of accomplishments to get done. So next year, I'm going to even double my effort rate. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
Let's go. Kyle Shanahan of 105.3 The Fan.
No,
Gavin Dawson over here.
I like
Let's go, baby. I'm pulling for you, man.
I like it.
All right, we just did some Olympic talk there, best of the weekend. How about Micah Parsons after the game yesterday saying he wants to find a way to be in the Olympics in 2028. He posted on Twitter, what events do y'all think I can do? I need ideas. Now, there is going to be flag football. Maybe Micah could participate in flag football, but he went as far to say is after 2027, I'm going to need to take a break from football to prepare for the Olympic Games.
Wow.
Is this making your like Cowboys insides tingle a little bit in a negative way? Like, oh my gosh, Micah, are you going to leave the team to compete in track and field or some other event?
It's so far from now that it's like I'm not even considering it. I'm sure he will change his mind 50,000 times between now and when it actually matters. So I have no care in the world about it. But if he's still a dominant athlete at that point, then watching him play flag football against the rest of the world would probably be pretty dang fun.
How about discus or shot put?
I can see it.
So,
yep.
Something like that. Maybe even, I don't know if he could throw javelin? Would that? He seems like something with power, quickness.
Yeah.
A combination of the two. Discus seems like a good training thing for him. Kind of like, you know, he could probably do that pretty well with his balance. So, yeah, shot put discus. I kind of feel like that would be something he might have an ability to maybe pull off.
I think you want to look at cycling. You want to look at, you know, maybe some rowing. But
rowing would be good. He might be too big.
For a cycle?
For the rowing.
For a canoe.
Yeah, for the boat. Those dudes are built like in inverted triangles, though.
I guarantee, jockeys? Though, he is so explosive. Whatever he wanted to do, if he could go back in a time machine 10 years ago and start that, we would have just seen him on the medal stand.
I believe it. I mean, he is a freak athlete, but something to monitor, all right? Olympic gate, Parsons style.
Some of the weightlifting stuff. Like, I bet he could clean and jerk.
We don't do that weightlifting stuff anymore. They don't have that. Because of all the doping problems and stuff like that, right? Didn't they eliminate a bunch of that?
No, they still
have some.
There's definitely.
Man, I thought they eliminated a lot of that because of the doping stuff.
I think they just kicked those, like Russia wouldn't compete, and they said, sorry, you can't come.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Russia.
There's all kinds of questions about this, you know, that weightlifting stuff. But
hey, 3-on-3 basketball got texted in. I mean, he's got to be better than what we were putting out there this Olympics. Mm-hmm. That wasn't very good.
Hey, don't
Jimmer Fournette.
I hear he plays a mean game of table tennis.
Table tennis.
There you go.
That's,
Those guys gals, no, they look serious.
They look so fast.
That thing looks serious when they do that.
You see the ball as it's flying by.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah, that was a difficult. That would be a tough challenge they're playing against the Chinese. Now, we did get an interesting development today. Oh, my goodness. This is bizarre. Jets All-Pro pass rusher, former Eagle, just got traded this offseason to the JETS Jets. He's holding out. He has not reported to a single practice since being traded to the Jets. He now has told the team, I want to be traded. So Hassan Reddick says, get me out of here. This is after he just became a member of the team a few months ago. Jets GM Joe Douglas said, we have informed Hassan that we will not trade him, that he is expected to be here with his teammates, and that he will continue to be fined per the CBA if he does not report. Since the trade discussions back in March, we have been clear, we have been direct, and consistent with our position. Our focus will remain on the guys we have here as we prepare for the regular season. But I can't think of this. I mean, Eric, you were asking during Crosstalk. This has to be a first. I can't think of another player that gets traded to team, then says, 3 months later, now get me out of this team situation.
Yeah, I mean, just in one offseason, having somebody traded twice in the same offseason, I don't think we've ever seen that, unless it was like a throwaway player in like two random trades.
Sure.
But as like being the main subject of two separate trades in one offseason, I believe it would be the first of its kind here.
Wild.
And it just speaks to the Jets' incompetence and probably some mishandling with Hassan Reddick and his agent, perhaps. But it's no surprise that it's the Jets that this is happening to.
Is this all over pay?
Yeah, it's overpay. And if you're the Jets and you're trading for him in the first place.
So he's in the last year of his deal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And they should have expected then to give him a new contract if you're making the trade.
Yeah. I would have, if I were the Eagles or if I was Reddick, I would have said, listen, I'm not going unless we can work out a deal before I go.
Right.
You know, and apparently that was part of the conversations.
Yeah.
And they said, we'll get you a new deal, but you can't. He said, I'm not going to hold out. So he was confident that he'd get a new deal, but I guess there's been no progress there. And so now he's holding out. The whole thing is just bizarre.
And the Jets are saying they won't negotiate with a player who's not there.
No.
So that's, you know.
And they're not going to trade him. Very toxic. Very toxic. Something to monitor moving forward. Speaking of trades, multiple teams, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, have inquired to the Patriots about trading for pass rusher Matthew Judon. That would be a player maybe I'd be interested in if you're a team that's contending. Maybe you need a pass rusher. Judon's a dude.
I mean, geez.
Plays
dude.
A run well,
really,
too.
Really good all-rounded, well-rounded player.
Awesome player.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Shout out to our guy, Ben DiNucci. The Nucci. He is signing with the Buffalo Bills. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills circle the wagons.
Damn right. Yeah. That's good for him.
Yeah.
We're going to make upside down hats for them too now?
Yeah, Buffalo upside down. You go ahead
tell
and
you what, if he keeps bouncing around to all the teams, he'll have this market covered.
Get
he
all will. 32.
Honestly, it's like, I really don't want to play quarterback anymore, but here's an upside down hat for all your trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's a good play on him. Yeah.
You know, I think Micah might have a better chance going to the Winter Olympics. That Jared Allen, a member of the Vikings, he built a curling team.
Oh, my gosh, the curling.
Okay, yeah. Herschel Walker was on the bobsled team.
There you go.
You could have him as a pusher. Yeah. You could be a pusher guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I did watch a little handball. I think he would dominate in handball.
That's something you do every day.
If you got as much speed as he does and just hand eye coordination and things like that, as long as he can throw it, I feel like he's got a hose. I absolutely believe he could do that.
That's amazing. And Devontae Adams, I don't think he actually requested a trade with the Raiders, 6'8", 2. Like, that would be he might have if they didn't bench Jimmy Garoppolo. Devontae Adams is a good pull. That one was getting close to happening, but not quite the same situation here with Hassan Reddick. We do have some rookie injuries. Rookie first-round pick offensive tackle Amarius Mims of the Bengals, who looked good in his first game. He's dealing with a strained pec. He's going to be out several weeks. That sounds bad.
Not good.
Oh, that does not sound good.
When you tear that thing, it's sayonara for the season. So it's a strain. I wonder what that's going to look like for him.
I wonder if, like, the strain, would you prefer just the tear?
No, the tear eliminates you completely.
Yeah, but I like the strain, I feel like maybe there's...
Nah, I think you'd fight through that.
We got Dr. Wolchuk on the scene.
Like, eventually, I feel like that's going to tear eventually. Like,
appreciate
you'd rather
thoughts,
just get it out of the way.
You know, I mean, I
hope once it goes, then say goodbye.
We'll see. Malik Nabers of the Giants has an ankle injury. He's going to be day to day. Their star wide receiver, but they did get Evan Neal back. He's returned from PUP. I don't think they care much. He's not very good. Ooh. I think they'd rather just cut him.
Yeah,
but he's back. He's back from the PUP list. This is not good news for the Niners. Might be good news for the rest of the NFC, just depending on how you look at stuff. Not that we're rooting for this
Let's
at all.
Let's not cheer for injuries for the 49ers.
But the 49ers are having issues. They're having a lot of injuries. In fact, so many injuries that they have now had to say, we're not doing the joint practice with the Saints. We're going to cancel this thing. So they're not going to have that. They were supposed to do it in Irvine, California on Thursday and Friday. But they've had 23 players miss their most recent practice. So they just said, New Orleans, don't worry about this. We're not doing it.
Cowboys are going so good, they added another one.
Yeah, Cowboys are adding one on Wednesday this week. We're looking forward to that.
How about that?
With the Rams again. Yeah. I mean, they were getting so much good work in. Why not? Let's do this thing.
Mm-hmm. I figure if you're getting that bad of luck, you don't want to tempt fate any longer.
Mm-mm.
You know, that one's brutal. But I'm surprised when these teams do it, you know, especially the good ones. If I'm trying to get good, we're going to practice a lot of joint practices. My starters are playing if we're good, we're just trying to get to week one. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but McVay does it so he doesn't have to play his starters in the preseason.
And McCarthy, it seems like, does the same.
Mike just figured it out. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Now I can play my starters at the, you know, we can script 70 plays and my quarterback doesn't get hit. And, you know, Mike's kind of figured out McVay. This will be the third team that they've worked now. They'll work against the Cowboys twice, but they've worked against the Chargers already too. They do it so they don't have to play anybody in the preseason.
Smart.
I'm going to start televising these.
Yeah. Those joint practices are good.
Good idea.
Or maybe change the preseason rules to mimic these.
Ooh.
I think get rid of another preseason game and just do all this all the time.
Yeah, I think two's fine. Then you do the joint practices. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, just, you know, I can say as long as everybody's kind of like making sure that we're okay with not, you know, trying to take a helmet off and hit another guy, you know, that kind of stuff.
But how did the rookie quarterbacks fare and just the quarterbacks in general? Well, we got Joe Burrow back. This was Joe Burrow on with Up and Adams, K.
He's
Adams
a rookie?
Show last week. And Joe, and hey, well, what's going to happen with this first preseason game, bro?
If you had it your way, you get to pick. What does your preseason action look like?
Hopefully one drive, score a touchdown, get out of there.
Well, what did my guy do? 12-play drive, 73 yards, touchdown pass to T. Higgins. Got the hell out of there.
Nice,
end of his word.
Dude.
Super Bowl season loading for Joe Burrow.
That's
still
right.
Got the blonde hair. We still throwing blonde hair.
Very blonde. Very, very blonde on him. Very blonde.
He's kind of pulling that off.
He is. You know what? He does pull it off.
Yeah. Got a good shade of platinum on there.
Bo Nix led 4 scoring drives, 2 field goals, 2 touchdowns in the Broncos' debut. 1 touchdown was to Frisco Lone Star Zone and Oklahoma Sooner Marvin Mims. So Bo Nix, 15-21, 125 yards, and that touchdown, passer rating over 100. So pretty solid debut for Bo Nix. Jaden Daniels looked good for the Commanders. Caleb Williams had a touchdown drive, including a couple of nice moments for the Bears.
Yeah, he had some great moments, didn't he?
He did. He looked good.
That might be the best quarterback I've ever seen in a Bears uniform.
Just ever.
Like that could that,
honestly, it might be.
Just one preseason game might be enough for that.
You could be right on about that. Drake May, not so good for the Patriots. Penix Jr.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah, that one was surprising. Honestly, the Bo Nix is the most surprising to me.
I'll tell you what, Bo Nix, though, when you watch though at the Oregon tape, man, he slung it around. He was terrible at Auburn. Whatever they did to him there in Eugene made him a much better quarterback.
Michael Penix Jr. went 9 for 16, 104 yards, including a 41-yard pass to Chris Blair that set up a Falcons score, so he looked solid. And then J.J. McCarthy struggled at first, threw an interception that was underthrown, then came back in, finished with 188 yards, went 11 of 17, including a 45-yard touchdown pass. So rookie quarterbacks, not really, it was Drake May. The other ones all had at least a positive moment to come out of their preseason game. And then we've got history being made this year, boys.
What happened? Hmm.
I don't think you guys could guess this, even if I gave you all show to do it.
Okay, is it have to do with NFL history or a team history?
It's pre-season NFL history.
NFL history?
And most NFL history.
Of players that are going to be playing at this position.
Can you rephrase the
kicker
question?
Kicker returner.
No, it's a certain position that we haven't seen a lot of these guys in the history
fullback.
Of the sport. Not fullback.
That's a good guess, though.
You know, without giving it away, it's maybe a color thing.
Oh, a color thing.
The green dot guy?
Color thing?
Corners?
Corners?
White corners.
Brian? White corners?
Oh!
You say white corners, Gavin?
White corners.
You say white corners?
Hey,
my
you
guy.
Know what? I was, yeah, corners, yeah, yeah.
We have a whopping 3 white corners.
Whoa.
Who are expected to make NFL rosters this season. That's a record,
that?
Baby.
Just to make the rosters.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the last
yeah.
time was 1971.
And shout out to the Iowa Hawkeyes.
They have two of them?
Two out of the three are Iowa Hawkeyes. Cooper DeJean with the Eagles.
That's right.
Riley Moss could be opposite Patrick Surtain for the Broncos. And then Ethan Bonner of the Miami Dolphins. Do you have an Ethan Bonner scouting report, Eric?
Here's what I can tell you. The dude's got wheels. They say he might be faster than Tyreek. Now, that's just a might be, but this is a guy that runs around.
Why do we have Dolphins scouting report here?
He runs around with Jalen Waddle and with Tyreek Hill, and he looks like he belongs. I will tell you that. I don't know anything else about him other than the foot speed.
Absolutely badass.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to throw in there, because I sent this to Carter, and he's got it, so I just want to put this up on the fan cam. But Jonathan Taylor and 3 other Colts players, they actually wore the Guardian caps in
the
game.
Dude, this is...
They
this...
did it. So, I mean, and I thought one of the quotes was great. Our medical staff tells me, I don't know the numbers, but they say it offers a significant reduction in concussions.
But I don't know the numbers.
But if I knew the numbers... I don't know the numbers.
It sounds very COVID-like. Yeah.
Numbers lie.
We don't know the numbers.
I don't know if the numbers are true or not, but hey, good for Jonathan Taylor and the Colts. It did still look weird. There's no way around it. It looks bizarre when they're wearing it.
Yeah, it looked like his head was 3 times the size of what it should have been.
Yeah, it was like the fat heads.
Yeah, quite literally. It was alien-like, but whatever you can do to prevent the concussions, I think it's worth it to save your brain, even though aesthetically it makes me want to pee.
100%. Do your thing.
Shoot you.
Let's all sing it.
Funky music, my boy.
Jared Sandler's in the house. Rangers pregame coming up at 5:30.
Speaking of white boys.
7.5 back, taking on the Bo Sox this evening. And we're back with the college football super segment, Wolchuk.
Ooh, we got a big loss for the Aggies. Spencer Rattler is ticked off the state he's playing in the best college football duos. 877-881-1053 is we're right around the corner from college football.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Season.
Welcome back, Nation. Segment of the G-Bag Nation here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Broadus has seen the tape. He's got the top takeaways for you Cowboys fans on what happened yesterday in L.A. against the Rams. But right now, it's time for a college football super segment. Here's Wolchuk.
Oh, the AP polls out, baby. Georgia comes in at number one, followed by the Ohio State Buckeyes. Oregon, the Ducks at number three, followed by your Texas Longhorns, rounding out the top four teams. I guess the top four doesn't matter as much anymore since it's 12 teams now. Make the college football playoff. Alabama, number five, followed by Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan, and Florida State is your top 10 heading in to the college football season. Now, Texas A&M, they had a loss. Reuben Owens, who was projected to be one of their mainstays in the backfield, produced 743 all-purpose yards, three TDs, earned SEC all-freshman honors last year, is expected to miss the season after he suffered a significant lower body injury during their scrimmage on Saturday. So a bummer for Texas A&M and the Aggies. But the good thing is, at least as of now, their starting quarterback is still healthy.
It's both the Longhorns and Aggies now that have lost a runner.
They did. C.J. Baxter went down for the Horns, and now you've got an Aggie injury. Now the Morning News put out five bold predictions for Texas A&M in 2024. Can the Aggies rebound in Mike Elko's first season? 877-881-1053. Aggie fans, how you feeling? You ready for this
one? I think they're fired up about Elko.
I think they are, too. And I like Mike Elko. I think he's a hell of a coach. I mean, you win at Duke, that's impressive. I don't think that's easy to do. Number one, Connor Wegman will start each game of the season. If he does that, I think that's a win for Texas A&M in general.
They have first time since Johnny, huh?
Probably Kellen Mond.
Kellen Mond.
I think Kellen Mond.
Always forget about him.
I mean, he's forgettable. But ever since then, man, they have just been snake bitten at the position. They can't get a starter. Aggies will produce a first-team all-SEC wide receiver. They've got Noah Thomas. They've got Musin Muhammad III, the son of Musin Muhammad.
Jeez, cool. How many years has he played?
The third?
Is he a senior?
He's a graduate senior.
Okay, God, I feel like he's been playing for 7 years now.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, that must mean, Brian, he doesn't expect to be high in the NFL.
He's a good-looking player. I mean, he crushed LSU one time with a bunch of receptions. But, man, I was like, whoa. I mean, I felt like that he kind of has been playing for a long time now.
Probably redshirted, got himself a COVID extra year, and got hurt.
Yeah.
Now, you know, he's been in college.
Yeah, it's a good point. Good point.
But yeah, I think if you're in an NIL era and your dad played in the NFL, so you're not like chomping at the bit to go get rich because you've been rich your whole life. Maybe just hanging out in college is a better lifestyle,
man.
As long as you don't mind class,
yeah,
you know,
good time.
Hold the 2.
Well, he's a graduate already, right?
Yeah, so
he's
graduate. Yeah, Yep. Yeah. So now he's just chilling and playing football. Yeah. Other bold prediction, A&M's defensive line will combine for 30 sacks or more this year. They always do seem to have a ton of talent along the defensive front. The Aggies will be ranked for 6 weeks or more, and A&M will win one of their tough road games, Florida, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Auburn. Those are all their road games. I don't think that's as hard of a schedule as they've had in the past. I don't know how good Florida is going to be this year. Mississippi State could be down. South Carolina's got a new quarterback, and Auburn remains to be seen. So I think it'd be a big upset if they don't end up winning one of those games.
They open against Notre Dame, right?
Yes, I believe you're right.
Yeah, good for them.
That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's hear from Spencer Rattler. I just mentioned South Carolina's got a new starting quarterback because Rattler has left. He's now a member of the New Orleans Saints. So the Saints media department catches up with Spencer Rattler after practice, and they said, man, hey, give us your five toughest college football venues that you ever played in.
Top five toughest and loudest places in college. Starting the SEC, got to put Florida. Florida was a tough place to play. We didn't win that game. It was a tough one. Tennessee at night, they did a blackout, flew the Jets all over. It was a pretty crazy game. Georgia, we played Georgia at noon, between the hedges. Should have beat them, but they got us. That was a tough place to play. That's three?
Three.
Clemson, you know, we beat them at their house, you know. Snapped the 40-game win streak. That was a tough place to play at noon as well. We won that one. And then let's go back to the Big 12, K-State. Pretty cool environment, tough environment. We won that game too, though. But top five toughest places.
Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, Clemson, Kansas State. Now, where is Spencer Rattler playing in the NFL now?
New Orleans.
Yeah. Well, the home fans not happy. They're like
a little bit of an omission there.
How the hell could you
not
leave?
Play at LSU?
How could you leave LSU?
A scheduling
out?
Quirk.
He did.
He did play there.
He did.
Wow.
He played at LSU, but he left LSU out of the top five of this list. Brian, you know those people in Louisiana very well. You are an LSU Tiger. How foul is this?
I think he'll be okay. Didn't he lead him to a victory in the preseason the other day? Didn't they like?
They won, and he had a touchdown.
Yeah, he actually played pretty decently for them. So, yeah, I think they'll forgive him if he finds a way to make the team and you know do what he needs to do.
Can any one of these lists leave LSU out though and be a credible list?
You know what? There's people that I mean, he named some really tough venues there. I mean, I've been to all the places he's talking about. If I said LSU, it'd be, you're a homer. So then I would turn around and name some other places. He's right about Florida Field. He's right about Tennessee. I've never been to Clemson. You know, then Georgia is hard to play at. So his list isn't wrong, but yeah.
What about K-State?
See, I've been to Manhattan, Kansas, but I've never been to a game. So I don't that's kind of funny that he would put that. Didn't he lose a game? Didn't they get upset? I think he was a quarterback when they got upset when he was at Oklahoma. It might have been. I might be wrong
they
about that.
They lost to Iowa State.
It was Iowa State. Yeah. I knew it was one of these games where I've kind of felt like there was an onside kick or something that they lost. Maybe that was a couple years ago and he wasn't playing there. I don't know. But – anyway, his list I don't think is terrible.
It's
never
not good.
I've never been to Kansas State. I just don't know that Bill Snyder Family Field does not sound like a place there where teams go to die or anything like that.
I mean, the one stadium that I've heard is not that loud, and you think it would be is the Big House. That seems to be a thing. Like I know a bus with the boys has been going around. Amon-Ra St. Brown was talking about like Michigan really wasn't even that loud. I don't know, maybe it doesn't keep the sound in, but it's built underground. I don't know. I would have assumed Michigan would be one of the loudest places in the country.
The Big House, it's almost like the Rose Bowl. It's not built up. It's spread out. So the sound goes away because it's like it's stretched. The stands are stretched. They're not – they don't go like – these places in the SEC – you go to Alabama, you go to Georgia, you go to Tennessee. The stands go straight up with 102,000 people.
Okay.
The Rose Bowl and the Big House, it's built where it goes wide. So all the sound, it kind of doesn't collect anywhere.
Interesting.
It just goes out. Yeah.
Well, 247 Sports put out a pretty cool article, the top 50 duos in college football history. And there's been a lot of really good ones over the years. Honorable mentions, we got like Chubb and Sony Michel at Georgia, who were an awesome pairing. Tommy Frazier and Amon Green, friend of the nosebleed seats, Amon Green.
Yeah.
At Nebraska. Peyton Manning and Joey Kent at Tennessee. How about Ty Matthew and Mo Claiborne at LSU? I mean, man, the Honey Badger took over the country in 2010 there at LSU. Derek Thomas and Cornelius Bennett as linebackers at Alabama make it. But you've also got T-Law and Travis Etienne at Clemson.
Mm.
Burrow and Chase at LSU.
Dude, I don't know how it gets much better than, I mean, geez, you get Burrow Unreal. And Jefferson, too.
Yeah, Burrow and Jefferson.
Jefferson's nasty.
Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas at Oklahoma State.
Gosh. Did you get some Baker CeeDee Lamb in there at all?
Baker CeeDee Lamb, they were a little bit down here because okay. There's 50. So they were like past 25. Chad Pennington and Randy Moss at Marshall.
Man.
That was fun.
Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams at Auburn.
Yeah, dude, they were both. Yeah, I was about to say they were both top five picks.
McFadden and Felix Jones at Arkansas. Pat White and Steve Slayton at West Virginia.
Mm.
Tebow and Harvin.
For college football. College football, they were legends.
Dude, they were so much fun. In the college football video game, unbelievable. Both of them top 10 Heisman finishes in 07 and 08. Tim Tebow and Percy Harvin at Florida. Percy was a cheat code. Number one, though, and we got a Trojan in studio. He's going to be happy about this. Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
Best college football duo ever, you think?
They're pretty darn good.
It's hard to fight against that. Who would be
the tough one?
Leinart was exceptional in college. The game against Notre Dame, legendary.
And they both won Heismans, right? Back-to-back years.
Right.
So that's a tough one to knock off.
Well,
Blanchard and Davis from Army in 47 was pretty good.
Mac Jones and Devontae Smith was on here. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to see them play, Brian, but you're probably right on that.
Yeah, Blanchard and Davis. They were Army football in the 40s. They never lost a football game.
Yeah. They did have Manziel and Mike Evans. They were less on here.
That was strong.
Chris Winkie, Peter Warwick. Peter Warwick was so damn good. But Sam Bradford and Jermaine Gresham of Oklahoma. Those were some of the OU ones, if you want to know.
Wouldn't it be Sam Bradford and Adrian Peterson? I mean, my goodness, that doesn't. Maybe Adrian Peterson was already Adrian gone. Peterson,
yeah, I don't know. I don't think he did.
Was he play Sam Bradford? Did he play maybe with there was James like a year White or something.
No, yeah. Carter Freeman's giving us the no on that one.
Long time. Way to go. Yep, here we go. Not
together, DeMarco Murray and Ryan Broyles was also on here from an Oklahoma perspective.
That's a committed Sooner fan right over there. You must have been like what 7 years old back then. That's a long time ago.
Ooh, I was a big Quentin Griffith fan.
I actually have an OU stat of the day for you. I saw this from Blake Monroe on Twitter. Fun fact, every SEC school won at least one medal at the Paris 2024 Olympics, except for Oklahoma.
Oh,
no, Texas apparently led the way with 16 total.
Pure dominance.
They had some runners and some throwers and stuff like that. Yeah,
and that receiver for the Rams, the rookie, he looks pretty dang good.
Yeah,
making plays right
Jordan
and left.
Whittington, Jordan Whittington, Quero Zone. Hell yeah.
More on that. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. Where are we going, sir?
Well, we're going to break this thing down. I had a chance to take a look at it, and we'll cover all the bases next.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Brian Broaddus is still in Oxnard covering the Cowboys for us, and it is time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here. Here's the King.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you to Sagamore, too. Man, they're doing a fine job with us as well. So
Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey from grain to glass.
Yeah, they are. Everybody's enjoying a lot of that. So we really do appreciate all their help. If I can give you an injury update before we get started here.
Please do.
You guys talk at all about Chuma Doga today?
A brief mention, I think.
What did you call it as? Did you say that foot injury, boot, that kind of thing?
Foot injury, waiting for Broaddus.
Yeah. Toe injury, MRI. They're waiting for that right now. So, yeah, he's dealing with a toe injury. He's had some medical problems during this camp. The low back, then he got the back spasms, then he got this. So, yeah, it's a toe injury. And they're waiting to see how significant this really is. Hmm. With the player, I would be a little worried about this one.
Okay.
That means that they're going to have to figure out some things at left tackle, but it also means that they can, you know, go ahead and put Guyton out there. He
that's what we want to see anyway.
Yeah, we all want to see Guyton. We all want to see Guyton. Do you want to start off with him, or you want to start off with Trey Lance?
Let's start off with Guyton.
You want to start off with Guyton?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any questions about Guyton? What you anything come to mind, or what you anything before I get started? Do you have any questions about him?
How much better is he than when you first saw him at OTAs?
You know what? How much better is he than when I saw him at Oklahoma?
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing. And when you and that's a really, really good question, by the way. You know, this is his very first rep that he had, or the very first play that he had, he went out and he kind of ducked his head. You know, he was like he was trying to kind of lunge into the guy a little bit and stop the guy's charge from him. And right then and there, when he ducked, it kind of threw him off balance. And then all of a sudden, you're seeing like, wait a minute, this is why this guy has athletic ability. So head goes down into the block. Hands kind of go forward. He's a little bit top heavy. Then all of a sudden, it's like he realizes, like, okay, I got to get out of this. And he's able to kind of go forward and then sit down and then recover in the block, all while the rusher is coming up the field on him. So he's trying to stop a charge. He's now overextended, and it's like looking like it's going to be in bad shape. And then he's able to kind of recover and get back in the block and then stay in position. He had 12 pass plays where he was involved, and he only gave up no pressures in that. He was single block. He was single blocking like 75% of the time. So he was just him and his guy in this one. And his run blocking, I'll tell you where he's gotten better, guys. I didn't think he was a really, really good run blocker.
Yeah.
Maybe in space. And Zach, you saw him as well. There were some questions like, okay, this guy can pass block. He's an athlete. He gets in space. You can move him around, that kind of thing. But when it comes to coming off the football, there's really a sense of urgency to his game when he comes off, because it's kind of like, it's like, okay, I've got to get this block. I got to get over here. I can't be lazy with my technique. Can't miss with my hands. He's coming off the ball with some pop and some snap. I was sitting there when I was watching the tape. You know, their edge there. I always jack this name up. It's Van Valkenburg is what he's, number 51.
I loved every time they showed his last name.
Yeah,
on
Van
the screen.
Valkenburg. My gosh. Van Valkenburg. And Van Valkenburg. Van Valkenburg, when he was against anybody else, was kind of playing pretty good.
He was.
And then when he went against Guyton, Van Valkenburg was not a factor. He just wasn't. I mean, that was a tough ask to have to deal with a guy coming off the ball and getting movement in the running game. And there was one time where they run that one of my favorite plays is this crack toss. I love when they run crack toss because it gets the ball to the edge. Now, they didn't get it out there quick enough, but, man, it was a hell of a block. I mean, here they've got little Jalen Cropper in there cracking, and he's holding up. I mean, he's kind of fighting, and it's like, and all of a sudden, Guyton's kind of like, all right, let me help you here. And he just destroys. I mean, just shoves. You know, the edge out of the way, and you know, here's both guys go flying.
Yeah, Cropper took a good chunk of that too.
Yeah, Cropper got hit. Man, Valkenburg got hit. Everybody got hit on the play. They couldn't get the ball to the edge, but it was one of those things where you were kind of like, here's a guy in space. Here's a guy playing with power. Here's a guy, you know, the assignments and stuff. For a guy that missed all of practice last week, basically, that was a pretty solid game that he played. And now with with Adoga being out probably for a bit, you're going to see quite a bit of Guyton getting that work, and I think we're all happy about that.
Awesome. Sounds like a home run pick.
Yep.
I think he can get a lot stronger still, which is insane.
he can and, you know, he's a thin guy, really. Yep. I mean, when you look at him, and even with him being sick, it looks like he's lost some weight. He kind of slimmed down. Maybe he wasn't feeling great, and not eating and all that, but they were talking about it. It's kind of like a pneumonia situation that he was dealing with.
Sounds kind of like COVID to me.
COVID, pneumonia, yeah.
It's an upper respiratory pneumonia.
Upper respiratory problem. Yeah, upper respiratory problem there. All right, Trey Lance, can we get into that one
a little bit? Yes, please.
Okay. All right, Trey Lance, what we saw at camp with Trey Lance has gotten better from what you guys saw to the time, and he's gotten a little better. But there's still things about Trey Lance's game that will give you pause. And when you watch the tape of him throwing the ball, he missed some open throws yesterday. And I mean open throws of open reads. There were a couple of times there where he could have thrown touchdown passes in this game. And he didn't even – it was like, okay, I'm supposed to go here. And instead of like, you know, maybe Dak, maybe Cooper Rush, maybe the lack of experience hurts him here. But there was a couple of different times where he missed Cropper right down the middle of the field that would have been a touchdown. Instead, you know, he throws and the ball gets knocked down. It's incomplete. But Cropper runs the route and is just nobody's with him. And if Trey just kind of just says, okay, I'm just going to take the snap. I'm going to look and I'm going to see. Maybe he was going to read that, okay, I can't throw it here, but if I hit Cropper up the seam here, it's going to be a touchdown. So that was a little bit disappointing. They run a play late in the game, and this would have for sure, Princeton Fant, the tight end, they're playing him like a wing. So now we've got a regular like a tackle and a tight end, and then Fant's playing like a back, like a wing or like an H, and they're going to run a wheel, with Fant, but they're going to stretch the safety. It's actually a really good design. And Nathaniel Pete, the running back, goes flying out of the backfield towards the sidelines. So all of a sudden, now the safety thinking he's got to carry Pete. Well, Fant's now wheeled up the field. And Trey Lance didn't throw him the ball. And to me, it was like, you called this play with this in mind. That, like, you set this up with, okay, throw it here because we're going to get a favorable matchup and we're going to see if that safety flies with the running back. And he did. And it left Fant wide open.
Well, it was like that quick out to Cropper that he waits, waits. Now he throws it to him, and by the time he gets the ball, he's on the sideline. And he ends up being tackled short. Get the ball out. Allow him the ability to get the ball and turn up field. That's what the play is designed for.
Yeah, it was a couple. Like, okay, now the fourth down throw, this is a throw that, again, you guys were here for some of it. But when they get down tight red zone, they work on this throw. This is a throw that Dak makes, Cooper Rush makes. They all make it. They all get this throw. And I just felt like, and I've seen Trey Lance complete this one before. So it was a little bit of like, oh, okay, well, that's tough. Just run it, keep the drive going. Or, hey, go ahead. Okay, you want to take a chance, fine. I've seen Lance complete this one. Felt like, though, his passes yesterday were not where they needed to be with accuracy. He made his receivers really have to work in this game. I mean, there were guys that the slants, some of the balls really behind guys yesterday. And then that touch pass that he overthrew in the red zone there, man, I know he wants that one back. He just threw it too far. You know, you got separation from the slot. The route's good, and now it's just about a fitting it to the back pylon there, and he just threw it too far. So, unfortunately, you know, some of his throws were good. Some of them were behind guys. He missed some throws in that game yesterday. Probably could have had a couple of touchdown passes. And I'm going to say the one to Fant was probably a call play, and I don't know why he didn't go that direction, because he would have had a sure touchdown for that one as well.
Man, I'm really wondering, Brian, is it worth a roster spot?
Yeah, I think they're going to keep three. I think they're going to keep three here. You know, I just – there's that – the investment that they made with the fourth-round pick – they're hopeful. My gut feeling on this one is they're hopeful that more practice, more game, more exposure, that some things kind of clean up for him. But when you saw him, he wasn't very good. When you guys were here, he wasn't good. I feel like he's gotten better with some of the touch, some of the accuracy. But he got in that game yesterday when he didn't face pressure. The metrics will tell you that they were two of eight when he faced the blitz for 10 yards. So that's something that maybe some more pressure periods for this guy and let him kind of maybe get a little bit more comfortable. But there was some opportunity on that game, I felt like, that he left on that field. And hopefully he'll get it back when he sees the tape and then they play the Raiders next Saturday.
Sounds like a plan to me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corners brought to you by Dallas College every afternoon at 3:40. And salute once again to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey for sponsoring his continued and extended stay in Oxnard to give you the goods. Okay, we'll continue the Cowboys train with a C-note coming up next. The Cowboys news of the evening. Woolchuck, what's it looking like?
Babe had the crystal ball working last night. Let's do a Cowboys stock report. That's next in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.